I did prepare a kind of sermon, and then I thought, well, perhaps it's not the time for a sermon. So maybe I shouldn't give a sermon this morning. But then, I did write something down. Perhaps I should read out what I wrote down, and then we'll go on from there. Because this is the sermon that I would have given if I'd given a sermon. Okay? And this is how it sounds. This is the introduction. Why did Jesus heal the sick? Is healing for today? Is this healing ministry for me? And how does it work? That's the introduction. You have to concentrate because it's a quick sermon. Why did Jesus heal? Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing, so we should ask really not why did Jesus heal the sick, but why did the Father want Jesus to heal the sick? And the answer to that question is simply this, that sickness does not exist in the kingdom of heaven. When we go to heaven, we won't be sick. It's not part of the divine plan. Jesus came to drive out the kingdom of darkness and to bring in the kingdom of God. And there was a key scripture, and if I was going to give this sermon, I would tell you the scripture and I would go through it in detail. And the scripture is that one where Jesus casts out the demon, the man who was blind and mute. And he casts out the demon and he says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. That's not to say all the people who are sick are demonized. That's not the case at all. But all people who are sick are oppressed. Anyone who is sick is oppressed, or are we not? When we're sick, when we're ill, we feel oppressed. Now, there are some people who say that it's part of God's plan, that God brings sickness to teach us a lesson or to give us a time of learning for some reason or other. Now, those people, I wonder whether they're being honest, because those people who believe that are quick to take the painkillers. And they're quick to go to the doctor to find a cure. And if they do that, then they're opposing the will of God. So in our heart of heart, we are either being disobedient, or we don't believe that God brings sickness. And personally, I do not believe that God brings sickness. I believe it's part of the kingdom of darkness. And I'm going into a sermon now. I wasn't going to say that. This is the outline. Let me go back to the outline. So, God's kingdom, in God's kingdom there's no sickness. And there are many ways of expressing this truth, this basic truth, that Jesus came to heal the sick because sickness is part of the kingdom of darkness, and Jesus came to bring in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So it all boils down to that simple truth. We know that Jesus healed out of compassion. We know that Jesus healed in order to demonstrate who he was, who he is, and what his mission is. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to the simple fact, and that is that sickness is not part of the kingdom. So Jesus healed the sick. That's the first part. The next bit is healing for today. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command you. And love is demonstrated by obedience. And Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. True love is demonstrated by obedience. Obedience against all odds, obedience before popularity, obedience before ministry, obedience before everything else. Seek first the kingdom and all other things that you need will be added to you. What did Jesus command? He said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey. And to his disciples he said, preach the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. There's nothing in Scripture that indicates that these instructions were just for his first disciples. The message has not changed with the times. The two kingdoms that we mentioned, that we talk about, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven, are still here today, but only for a time, because the kingdom of darkness will soon disappear. But the good news is that the gates of hell will not prevail, that Jesus, the Christ, will rule supreme. The good news is that Jesus said, we will do even greater things than he did, because he has gone to the Father. We are the branches, he is the vine. It is Christ who works in us by the power of his Spirit to will and to do his good pleasure. I'm already 2/3 of the way through the sermon, and there's a little bit at the end as well. I'm not going to read that just now. But that's what I was going to say. And what I feel I should say is perhaps a little bit different. And maybe to expand on that a little bit. And I wonder sometimes, you know, why am I here? Why did I choose to come here this morning rather than go and play golf? Why did I choose to come here this morning rather than do the garden, which needs doing? Or many other things that I really ought to be doing at some stage, but not this morning. Why did I choose? In my blackest hour, what's it all about? There is a legend, you know, that Peter, when he was in Rome and in the, you know, the height of the persecution, the many Christians were being killed. There is a legend that Peter set out to leave Rome because of the persecutions. And as he went on his way out of Rome along the road, he heard a voice. He heard the voice of Jesus. And in Latin, that voice said, Quo Vadis. That was the language of the time and the language of the city. And the language, the words were, Quo Vadis. Peter, where are you going? And there are times in my life where I have to stand back and say, where am I going? And the answer for Peter was that he was going in the wrong direction. He was going out of Rome, and he was to turn back. And he turned back, and as a result, he became a martyr. And there are times, many times in my life, when I ask myself, where am I going? What's it all about? And it's strange because the words of that song keeps on coming back to my mind. You know, what's it all about? Alfie, isn't it? Now, that's a strange song. And I don't really know what the connotations are. But it's where my heart takes me. You know, what's it all about? Why am I doing all this? And in my darkest hour, the answer is that I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you can show me a better way than the one that I see in the Bible, then tell me and I will go that way. If you can show me a better truth than the truth that I see in the Bible, in Jesus, show me that truth and I will follow it. And if there is a better life than I see the life that Jesus describes, then show it to me and I will live it. That is what I see in my darkest hour. So in the end, we are here because of Jesus, because we don't know a better way. Not because we have all the answers. Not because we understand everything that's written down in Scripture. But because there is no better way that we can find. So when we're puzzled and we don't know the answer, when we're puzzled and we don't know why people are not healed when they're sick, when we pray for them, when we get these scriptures which we don't understand, which don't seem to fit in with everything else that we read, we say, how can that be? It doesn't fit in. We don't have all the answers. And when we doubt, we still come back, or I do, we come back to that fundamental truth. There's nothing better. And the disciples said, when Jesus said, will you go? You know, Jesus saw that some of these people who were following, stopped following, they were going, the message was too hard. And Jesus said to his disciples, you know, are you going to go as well? And the disciples said, no. Basically, there's nothing better. We know no other way we can go. So that's why I'm here this morning. That's why I'm sitting here in front of you. Not because I need to talk to you. Not because I need a platform. Not for any other reason than that I believe that what we are doing is the right thing to do, and that we need to encourage each other in this. And I have to say that over these last few weeks, and maybe over the whole of my life, I've made so many mistakes. So many things have gone wrong. And yet, I am here today to say, let us encourage each other to go on and to see this thing through, because really there's nothing else we can do. There's no other way for us to go. So let me go back now and just talk a little bit about this message that I ought to have given today, because it was what I'm down to speak about. And that is, you know, Jesus the healer. I summarized it there, and I'm going to go back over and look at some of those points just in a little bit more detail. Yes, Jesus did come, and he did heal the sick. That was a major part of his ministry. And the reason for that was simply that that's what God's business was about. God's business was about bringing in the kingdom. And the kingdom is simply God's rule and God's dominion, God's power, God's will. And Jesus came to do God's will. He said that, I come not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And in Gethsemane, he said, you know, not my will, but your will be done. The basic mission of Jesus was to listen to what God was saying, his Father was saying, and to do what he said. And that's our mission as well. We listen to each other, but more than anything else, we aim and try to listen to God. And the message that Jesus had from his Father was that he was to drive back the kingdom of darkness and everything that's involved with that. So Jesus came, and when he saw sickness, he saw evidence of the kingdom of darkness. So he healed. Wherever he could, he healed. Anyone who was open to healing, he healed. Anyone who asked, he healed. The only time he wasn't able to heal was those who didn't have the desire or the faith to be healed. You know, there are those who, in Jesus' hometown, who despised him. They saw his background, they saw his childhood, and they said, who are you? You know, there's no point in you praying for me, you're just the carpenter's son. So they despised him, and because of that, Jesus wasn't able to help them. His desire was to help them, but he wasn't able to because of their resistance. So whatever Jesus could, he healed. And the scripture says that all who came to him were healed. So that is why Jesus healed, because it was part of his mission to bring in the kingdom. Is that mission of Jesus still true for today? Well, has the situation changed? You know, are we still in the same situation? Is there still a kingdom of God and heaven? And is there still a kingdom of darkness? Well, the answer is yes, because for a time at least, that kingdom of darkness will be, you know, mixed in. You know, the wheat and the tares, that is the time we're in. There is a time now where there is goodness, there is the kingdom of God and heaven, but yet mixed in with that is the kingdom of darkness. And our mission as a body of Christ is to drive back, to prevail against the kingdom of darkness. That's what we're here for. So the situation has changed. So if Jesus' ministry was to heal the sick, is it not our ministry also? To me, it's a simple matter of logic. So if you believe that, if you accept that, and I'm not sort of putting that on you, I know people have different views about this, but that's what I believe, and that's what I offer to you as what is right and true. So if the mission hasn't changed, how do we approach it? Now, Jesus said to his disciples, basically, if you want to demonstrate your love for me, then the way to do that is not by words, it's not by being with me, but it's by being obedient, by doing what I ask. So when the disciples were sent out, the 12 first of all and the 72 later on, when they were sent out on a mission by Jesus, they showed their love for Jesus by doing what Jesus asked, by being obedient. Up to that point they had been there, they had listened, they had understood, and they had learned something. But when it came to true love, to real love, you know, when the rubber hits the road, as it were, they showed that love by being obedient to what Jesus asked. And he sent them out, and he sent them out on a mission. And the mission was to go out and preach the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near, and to heal the sick, cleanse those who are lepers, drive out demons. Is that ministry still valid today? I believe it is. Now at this point I have to admit that if someone sat here and started trying to persuade me to be an evangelist, it's a similar sort of thing in a way. Just think about this. If somebody up here who was an evangelist was speaking and trying to persuade me in the pew to be an evangelist, I would sort of close down at that point and just ignore everything that was being said. Because I know in my heart of hearts that I'm not an evangelist. And if someone tries to make me feel guilty about that, then I'm stuck. And I don't want to speak this morning in that sense that, you know, if you don't feel that your ministry is in this area, then I don't want you to feel guilty about that. But I do want you to know and understand that there is a possibility and an opportunity for us to work in more of that, those areas. But if you feel this is not, you know, you couldn't even go near it, then don't feel that I'm trying to put something on you. Because that's so easy for a speaker to do, and it's really not what it's all about. But what I want to outline to you is, if you like, an opportunity and a possibility. I've tried to set the foundations to show that this is what God wants from us as a body at this time. But having said that, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable or to feel pressurized. But what I do want to do is to outline to you the way in which this ministry works. And let me illustrate it with just one detail. You will know that Elaine and I went out to Lakeland in May, and we were blessed by that, and we were transformed by that experience. As it came to the end of that time, the people who were organising everything started to arrange for people attending that they could go out onto the streets in Lakeland and minister to people. You know, just to approach people and ask them if they wanted to be prayed for and to bless them in that way. Now, if I'm perfectly honest with you, at that point, I was not ready to do that. It was just something I couldn't even contemplate. You know, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know how to do it. And frankly, I freaked out. And maybe that's the way you feel at the moment about these things I'm telling you about. Now, come down the line to wherever we are now, end of October, and for whatever reason, I can't tell you, but for whatever reason you can imagine, yesterday we went out into the precinct and we prayed for people. And it wasn't a problem. It wasn't an issue. It sort of just came naturally. So something has happened in the meantime, and perhaps I've learned a little bit about how it can be done and how it should be done. And we were presented with a model of how you could go and pray for people. And I thought, yes, that's easy. I understand that. It's not obtrusive. It's not difficult. I can do that. And so we went out. So what I'm trying to say to you is there is a journey that we're all being taken through. And things which seem impossible for us today, because we're not ready for it, because we feel, you know, freaked out by it. Things like that, you know, God has a way of working in us and through us to make the impossible possible. And we all come at this to this from different points of view, but at the end of the day, if we are as individuals open every day of our lives to allow us to move on and to for God to develop in us what he wants us to do, then he can do that, and he will do that. So God is moving us on as a body, and I won't go into the details of how that ministry works, but just to give you an impression of what it's all about. And so we went out onto the precinct yesterday with a group of others. We weren't on our own by any means, maybe a dozen or more of us. And we were able in that time to, well, personally, we prayed for about four or five people. And in one case in particular, there was immediate evidence that something was happening, that somebody with severe pain in her knee, the pain went as we prayed. And, you know, others, someone we prayed for who claimed or admitted to schizophrenia and epilepsy. And we prayed, believing that they would be healed, not knowing whether they were healed or not, because, you know, these things you don't know about until afterwards. But trusting that it's quite possible within God's plan that God would use us at that point to drive back the kingdom of darkness and to bring in the kingdom of light for that person to be transformed and to be healed. Okay, so this is the kind of thing that's working. And I want just to finish off. I'm not going to go on for long this morning. I want to finish off by trying to help you to understand how this works. Because, you know, when someone like me sits here and says, you know, we prayed for somebody and you know, they were healed, or there were signs of healing. If I was sitting in the pew, I guess I would. My instinct would be, well, who are you? You know, why does God use you in that way and not me? You know, are you somebody special, or, you know, who do you think you are? Basically, that's the natural instinct which often comes to mind. And, you know, I have to ask myself that question often. Who am I? Who do I think I am? And when I think about that, I think, well, I suppose in the eyes of the world, I could be something. You know, I could boast about many things. Things that I've done and achieved, if you like, in this life. I could boast about my family, I could boast about many things. But the bottom line is, when it comes to it, you know, in terms of the kingdom, I am nothing in one sense. I'm nothing in the sense that I'm no different from anybody else, any other child of God. So whatever my achievements in this life, whatever my successes, whatever my wealth, or whatever my connection, shall we say, whoever I've met, you know, I could boast about who I've met in my lifetime. Doesn't matter who they are, in the end, in this kingdom, you know, on the level we're talking about, they don't count for anything. I am, you know, just an ordinary person like anybody else. So my ability and my skills, as it were, are basic. They are the skills and abilities that any other child of God has, and that's what we claim in the end. We claim nothing other than that we are children of God, and that's an amazing thing. And what are children of God here for? What powers, what enabling do we have? What giftings do we have? Well, we all have different giftings. We all have different talents. But when it comes down to it, God can use any of us in any way that He chooses. God can raise up people for a moment, for a time. And it could be that you may never hear from me again. This may be my last message. But hopefully in that time when I've been speaking, God has used me in some way to communicate something. Whatever our gifting or talents, wherever we are, God is powerful, God is almighty, and He can use any one of us to do anything at any time. That means, you know, sitting up here in front and talking, it means all kinds of things. Things which are not within our natural gifting, because God is God. He can do it. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, you know, things that God does, well, we have to understand that when Jesus works through us, when God works through us, when the Holy Spirit works through us in this kind of ministry, it's nothing to do with us at all. It's nothing to do with the person who's ministering. And it doesn't matter what your name is. It could be Reinhard Bonnke, or it could be, if you like, Todd Bentley, I don't mind. It doesn't matter, who was the other one? Benny Hinn. You know, your name might be any of those. But at the end of the day, the way that God uses those people, you know, God can use us in the same way. It's not beyond God's power and capability for any of us to have those ministries. We have the potential because we're children of God. As long as we are open, as long as we are listening, as long as we are willing, as long as we are obedient, God has the ability and the power, He can do it through any one of us. And this is what I believe we are here to do as a body, to release one another into the God-given ministry that He has chosen for us each individually. And for us to reach out for that God-given potential that we each have. So when we come to look at Scripture, and Jesus says, you know, you will do even greater things than I have done because I'm going to the Father, then now I actually believe that. The kind of miracles that Jesus did are open to us. Not that we are doing them, but we can make ourselves available for God to work through us in the same way and even greater ways than he did with Jesus. So as Jesus went out to heal, there is that God-given potential within each one of us that we could do the same thing. And how does that work? Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. In other words, the power and the enabling comes through the vine. We are the conduit. We are the means for that to be passed on from the vine to the branches. So it is God who is working through us. Not that we have the power or the gifting within us, but it's God that's working through us to will and to do His good pleasure. So if we see ourselves as a branch, if we see ourselves as those who are not creating but passing on from God to others, then we can begin to understand how God can do even greater things through us, because Jesus said, I am going to the Father. So there's a new dynamic about it. Jesus, as he worked and operated in his earthly ministry, he did that in relation to his Father and under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus says, because Jesus is going to the Father, and because he sends the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him, you will do even greater things, because he is by the side of the Father and sending the Holy Spirit to work through us. We have that potential and ability to do even greater things, not coming out of us, but coming out of our obedience and our availability to what God is going to do through us. So as we pray for people, it's not something which is special about that person praying. It's just that they are available for God to work through them, and for God to allow his ministry to work through them to those who need to be set free from sickness and so on. So if we focus on that, if we take the focus off ourselves and off our ministry, if we put the focus on Jesus and his ability and his power, then we are set free to minister. So as we minister, it's no longer a case of, oh, you know, look at me, isn't this a wonderful ministry that I'm doing? The focus is on Jesus and saying, praise God, God has done this. In the name of Jesus, he has used us to bring this healing. And as soon as something happens, the reflection is straight away, not onto from those who are ministering, but the reflection is straight away in praise to God for what he is doing. So the more we can take hold of that, the more we're set free and freed up to operate in this kind of ministry. And there are other things as well which I could talk about, but basically, the ministry of healing is a ministry of compassion. And if you have compassion for the sick, then you'll want to set them free. And Jesus has given you and me the authority to do that. He's given you and me the authority to oppose the work of the enemy. He hasn't given me the authority to oppose you, or to control you, or anything like that. We are to submit one to another. We are to be in submission to one another. But Jesus has given you and me authority over the forces of darkness. We have that authority. Jesus has given it to you and to me. So authority lies as being given to us in a particular sphere. So we can command and we can authorize and enable healing, because Jesus has called us to do that and given us authority to do that. Okay, so there is a little bit of time, and I just let's just hold on for a moment, and then what I'm going to suggest is that I'm going to ask if there's anybody here who has any pain or anything like that. Because there's plenty of time this morning. We've got a sort of a relaxed atmosphere. Any questions at this point? Because I know it's not usual to have questions, but I am aware that this message that I'm bringing doesn't suit everybody. So I'm open to questions this morning, and if you want me to try to explain anything in more detail, this is a good point. But also, I was just wondering whether it might be a good point also if anybody wouldn't mind being prayed for. If you have a pain anywhere in your body, a back headache or anything like that, migraine, and if you are willing to come and sit on a chair at the front here, then and be a guinea pig, if you like, I am open to us actually talking through and praying for you as for you to heal that, to be healed, but at the same time for everyone else to see, in a sense, how easy it is if God works through us, as God works through us. Anybody up to admitting to a pain and being willing to sit in the front while we pray for you? Anybody here? You have to have a pain. They don't want any imaginary pains. If anyone's too scared, it's okay. It's just an opportunity. Nobody, no pain this morning. That's amazing. Okay. Yes. You gotta come. Wow. Brilliant. Right, this is all going to be very relaxed. Don't be worried about anything. Because what we're going to do is we're going to give you an idea of how this ministry might work. And the essential thing is that it's all very relaxed. And it's all... as we come to minister, we're really ministering out of the presence of God. If, you know, nothing will happen unless God is here to minister. There's nothing in me that will bring healing of itself. But if God is going to work through us, and I'm not going to be the one that's just going to do the praying, but whoever is praying, if God is working through them, then it depends on God's presence only, and nothing more. And the power of God and the Holy Spirit to work. Now, having got one volunteer, we need some more volunteers who are bold enough and brave enough to come and pray and to be heard when they pray. Now, we need about 4 people who don't mind coming and making a fool of themselves. And then the rest of you, I'm going to ask if you would sort of come a little bit nearer and sort of gather around. So we're all going to get nearer in the end, but just 4 people, please, if you don't mind praying and speaking perhaps into the microphone as we do that. Come on, James, you can do one. Somebody else? I know there's some of your ministry team people who don't mind doing it. How about Karen, are you going to come? Yeah. Anybody else? Elaine, are you going to come? No? One or two more. Now, as we approach, we're going to make Kath feel comfortable. So we're not going to sort of stand over her and dominate. Perhaps we might even kneel down, and we'll actually come to the front, so she doesn't feel frightened about what's going on in the background. We'll try to encourage Kath to know peace in her heart, and to be relaxed, and not to try to do anything, not to try to help us in the prayer, but just to be at peace with God, and not to be frightened by our ministry. So Kath knows us all, so we're not going to give her our names, but if you want to come round, folks, and James and Karen and Elaine, we all know each other, but otherwise we would introduce each other, and we would make everyone feel relaxed and comfortable. And as we're meeting here, we're not meeting to do anything other than to bring God's presence into this situation, and to do that in a gentle way and a non-threatening way. And the next thing is that we would ask if you want to share what it is that you want us to pray for, or should we just pray?
My neck. I've got one of these crunchy necks. Yeah.
Crunchy neck.
Okay, so I'm a pain. I've got a pain.
Right. Okay, so
it's been worse recently.
Yeah,
it's muscular, I think.
Right, okay. It's not husband's problem.
No.
No, okay. Right. So, yeah, all right. So we're relaxed about this, and the next thing is that the prayer we're going to make, in a sense, isn't a prayer, because Jesus never prayed for anyone to be healed. Jesus knew that sickness was part of the kingdom of darkness. So he didn't need to ask permission from his Father to pray against it. You know, he didn't come with a prayer of supplication. He didn't ask for healing because he knew that that was part of the plan. So whenever Jesus ministered in healing, it was always with a word of authority. It was with a word of command. At this point, I'd like you all to just gather around a little bit, because I think you'd be better if you came a bit nearer, if you don't mind. You can sit on some of these chairs that are nearer if you like, but just come a little bit nearer. Everyone feel free just to move around a little bit and see what's going on. That's good. So, okay, if you want to sit here, and then we'll pray for you next, that'll be good. And that's great, any more's coming along. It's not that we like pain, but it's great if we can if we can have people who are willing to come and be prayed for. Okay. So as these folk pray, we'll be praying, not asking God for healing, but we'll be speaking healing and commanding healing and freedom and fullness and peace, all these things, but not asking, because we know it's part of God's kingdom. Are we okay in that? So who's going to start off? Now, in order to make the patient feel comfortable, if we want to lay hands on her, then we'll ask permission. And if we're a man, we'll be very careful about where we put our hands. But we will ask permission and make sure it's okay that they feel comfortable with that. In this case, it's a neck problem, so we would ask permission. Is it okay if I put my hand on your neck? And perhaps Elaine, would you want to do that? And then we will pray for it. So who's going to start us off?
Yeah, Father, we do thank you that you sent Jesus to the cross. And upon that cross, Jesus took all our pain, all our suffering, and everything that we go through in life that causes pain and grief. We can say that it has been nailed to the cross. So we just declare that now, Lord, and we say thank you that it has been nailed to the cross, and we place it there now in Jesus' name. And we ask for your presence to come, Lord, right now to Kath. I speak to the area where there's pain. I rebuke that pain by the power and authority of Jesus' name. I speak into that area and I ask for your healing to come, just like oil, to pour into the neck, into the muscular area, into the skeletal area, the muscles and the bones and the sinews would just be made right in the name of Jesus. Yeah, let it come, Lord. Amen.
We thank you for Kath, Lord. And in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, we lift Kath to you now. And you say that you've given us the authority, just as you had it, to command sickness to go. So we command sickness now to leave Kath. We command this pain in the neck to be removed immediately. And Father God, we bind it on earth now. And you say, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And we release healing now into Kath, Father God, freedom of movement of the neck. Because you say, whatever we release on earth will be released in heaven. And we do that now, Father. We do this in the name of Jesus, and we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thank you for your presence.
that you will increase your presence here now. Pain, go, in Jesus' name. Tension, go. Any thoughts that bring tension, go now in Jesus' name. Peace, peace come. And life, life in the muscles, life in the area of the neck. Come and give life.
Amen. Now we leave, we've allowed time for that to happen and for God to minister. And there are often, you know, a long opportunity for God to work and to minister. And this can be a kind of a soaking time. And we would encourage people to stay in God's presence and just to continue to receive that anointing. But after a while, when it seems right and appropriate, we can ask the person how they're getting on. How does it feel? Is there a sign of improvement? Has the pain gone? And then we can minister again. We can pray back into that. So, Kath, how's it going?
Okay, I felt a warmth there. I'm just going to stay on this for a while.
So there is a sense that God is working and that God is present. So we would encourage Kath to stay and to receive and to just enjoy that ministry. We don't always get quick results. Yesterday we prayed for somebody, as I say, we prayed for somebody who was schizophrenic. And we won't know whether that prayer ministry was successful until she comes back and says, I've changed. So it's not a prayer and not a ministry that's expecting immediate results necessarily. Even if people have pain. I mean, generally speaking, usually if someone has pain, we pray for them, then the pain will go. Because God is doing that. But we don't always see signs. And sometimes it's slow. Sometimes, to be honest, sometimes it can take months. But we encourage people to come back and come back for more and more prayer until we see the breakthrough. Because we believe in the end that it's God's plan and purpose for that person. It doesn't matter how long it takes, how many times we have to pray, we're willing to do that because that's part of the work that we're doing. Okay. Now, I don't know whether you guys want to break, but we're going to pray for this gentleman. I guess the best thing is if you don't want to sort of be a hang about, as it were, then I'll release the meeting now. And I have to say, I'm supposed to be on coffee, so I'm stuck for a minute. So if somebody will help me out. But some of you will pray for this gentleman. And if you're interested and want to help, then by all means come and join round. But everybody else, please. Getting dry. Please feel free to move and to continue and get coffee and everything. Okay. So bless you all and thank you.